The Holy Spirit is still being poured out today, and I want to wish those at home and those who are here in person, happy birthday. You look pretty good for 2,000 years old, let me tell you. I mean, glory to God. Hard to believe, is it 2,000 years ago the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem on a group probably not much bigger than us, 120 people, right? Wow, who would have thought it, that the Holy Spirit would empower those who had gathered and the church would be born and would become a global movement of which we are a part of today. I want you to think about it for a moment. The Holy Spirit, we think of the Holy Spirit coming. In reality, the Holy Spirit's always been with us, right? Amen. Even in the beginning, that breath was breathed. The Holy Spirit moved across the waters. The Holy Spirit is present, was present in creation and present in the birthing of the church, which is another creation that God has done, and we're part of that. Amen? Well, the title of the message today is Lessons from Pentecost. Lessons from Pentecost. Now, Ryan Karp was with us last week, and if you're watching from home or you're here and you weren't present, you missed it, but man, thanks to technology, you can go back and watch the sermon from last week. I thought Ryan did an awesome job, didn't he? Giving us the Jewish perspective of Pentecost, kind of prepared the way. It made preaching easy this morning after Brian got done being able to follow him as he connected the dots. Did you enjoy the Old Testament and how he connected it to what God is doing today when the law came on Mount Sinai? Wow. And then thousands of years later, on the same day, Mount Zion, the Holy Spirit comes and the church is birthed. And so today, here we are. Isn't this interesting? Thousands of years later, here was the law was given, thousands of years, Holy Spirit comes, thousands of years, and here we are today, and we're celebrating on the very day the Feast of Pentecost. And you'll remember from your notes last week, Pentecost is a Greek word, penta, 50. We know we looked in the Old Testament last week. What's our favorite book? Leviticus, that's right. Connie leaned over. She said, my pages aren't as worn as he thinks they're. Well, we need to read that more, don't we? And we saw in Leviticus 23, Exodus 23, we saw as the dots were connected this incredible feast that we're celebrating today, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, is 7 weeks, seven Sabbaths. And after the seventh Sabbath, then that's the 49th day. And then on the 50th day, they celebrated Pentecost, and that's why everyone was in Jerusalem that day, because it's one of those feasts. There are three appointed times, and the next slide shows them, and Ryan shared with us about it, didn't he? We have the Feast of Passover, and the Feast of Passover, that's when Jesus was crucified. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and as the Passover celebrated every year, it was at that time that Jesus came into Jerusalem and made that incredible sacrifice for us, right? Now, there are eight feasts, but these are three main ones, and these are the feasts people come to Jerusalem for. There's also the Feast of First Fruits, all right? And Jesus, is he the Feast of First Fruits after Passover? He is, isn't he? Because he's, what's the scripture say? He's the first fruit of the resurrection. All right, what's that mean? That means there's more resurrection coming, right? Which includes you and me. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. I don't know about you, but when I left service last Sunday, I was overwhelmed by the reality that these feasts, they are the rhythm of God's redemption. And they started a long time ago. And it's not like God was going, okay, now we need to do this. All right, now, all right. Well, we better do this now that they did that, you know. God's not shooting from the hip, all right? His plan is unfolding, and you're part of it, and I'm part of it, and we're here at this particular time. I believe it's by God's hand. And as we look at these feasts, we realize that God has this wonderful plan of redemption that's unfolding, and all these feasts were a shadow of what was coming, and you're not living in the shadow. You're living in the substance. And we know after Passover came the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days later, and that's when the church was birthed, not by accident. Remember, there are two buckets of feasts. There's the spring feast, there's the fall feast. This is part of the spring feast. It's the harvest time, right? It's the harvest time. And they were bringing harvests in as offerings. It was the Feast of Pentecost. It was a great time to celebrate. And on that feast, at that time, at this high feast, when everybody would be in Jerusalem, that's when God chose for the Holy Spirit to fall on that early church, a group of people our size, and it would change the world forever. And we're part of that feast. We're part of that redemptive plan. Now, of course, the fall feast, the Feast of Tabernacle, that's reminding us of something important that hasn't happened yet. What? Jesus is coming again, right? He's coming again. So where are we on the timeline of this redemptive story? We're right in the middle. The problem is some people have X'd out the Feast of Pentecost in the church today. They're on the right side of the cross, but they're on the wrong side of Pentecost. And it's easy, you know, they think somehow that we don't need Pentecost, or Pentecost was a one-time thing, it happened then. But the reality is, I believe this feast is present today in our midst, and we celebrate it today. And we not only have received our salvation through the Passover celebration, but we have received the Holy Spirit, and we are still receiving the Holy Spirit. And the reason is we are living in a time of harvest. That's what it's all about. And the reality is, without the Holy Spirit, if you remove this feast from the equation, what do you got? You're on your own. You're an orphan. You're a powerless church. You're kind of like an experience I had when I worked for this company, and they would try to reward their workers with trips and things. If you did really good, you know, you'd win a trip. Well, when I first came on board, the culture of the company wasn't really family friendly, which it didn't really stimulate me much. You know, people would go on trips, but you never took your spouse with you, and they'd go gambling and drinking. And my boss realized right away, Joe, you don't seem too excited about these trips. I said, you know, I'm really not. It doesn't really ring my bell. He said, well, what would it take to motivate you? I said, I'll tell you, yeah, you got to give me a trip that my wife can go on with me, and it's romantic. And he goes, well, I think I could do that. So he came to me one day and said, listen, here's a prize or an award I'd like to give out, and you can take your wife and you can go to the Lake of the Ozarks, you know, and spend some days there, and we'll take care. He says, how's that motivate you? I said, I'm on fire right now, man. And it didn't take long, man. I fulfilled the expectation, and I got this wonderful prize, and my wife was excited. We're packing our clothes, we're getting ready to go, and I got my car all ready, and I'm driving down West Street. And all of a sudden, my car pooped out. I thought, of all times for that to happen. So I called 1-800-FORM-TOW, and they came and got my car and took it to the mechanic shop. Well, we got 24 hours. I haven't got time to hang around. So I called my wife. We got to take the other car. Let's get it ready. And off we went. We had a great trip. And we got back, and I went to the mechanic. How many of you dread taking your car into the mechanic? Because, you know, I feel if I get by with a $300 bill, I count myself blessed, right? I mean, it's expensive to work on cars. So the whole time we're on this trip, I'm dreading getting back home, finding out what's wrong with my vehicle and paying the bill. So I went over there that next morning, had my checkbook in hand, made sure I had enough money in my account. And I went up to the counter. Oh, Mr. Voss, we're glad to see you. I said, yeah, I'm here to pay my bill. How much do I owe you? He said, you owe us $5. I thought, I am a blessed man. $5, huh? Yeah, he said, we put gas in it. So anyway, I said, this is just between us. This happened, right? We don't tell anybody. I went home. Boy, honey, it was major. It was major, honey. Lord, no, I told her the truth. Because here's the reality. You can have a beautiful car with all the bells and whistles, but if you don't have gas, it's just pretty to look at, that's all. It's not going anywhere. You're not going to be able to do anything. And when the church takes this position, it has all the bells and whistles, it has all the tools, it has all the knowledge, but it can't seem to go anywhere. And I want you to know, we're here today, we're removing that X. At Faith Community Church, we're celebrating Pentecost. We're celebrating Pentecost because we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is necessary for the time of harvest in which we're living in. Now, I want you to understand some things. Pentecost is not a denomination, okay? You say, and somebody might put that label on me. Well, you're Pentecostal, or you're in the Pentecostal denomination. Well, I want you to know this is not a denomination. This is an experience, all right? And it doesn't matter what shingle you might hang on your door. I believe God has this provision for us for a very important reason, and that is to fulfill the mission of the church for this great harvest. We're in the harvest time. That's why Jesus said the fields are what? White unto harvest, but the laborers are few, right? What kind of laborers? Laborers who receive the power for ministry to fulfill the harvest. That's what it's all about. Now, you can put any label you want on me, but I would prefer to just have the label, hey, listen, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit for end time harvest. That's my label, okay? Now, if you want to put some other labels on me, that's okay. You can call me Chris Manny. You can call me Finn. You say, well, he's this or he's that. People say, what are you? I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, are you an evangelical? Or are you a fundamentalist? Are you a charismatic? I just say, yes. I'm all those things, all right? And that's what I love about this church. We are a diversified group, and I love so much. We have Calvinists. We have Arminian. Why? What makes it possible for us to be together in one accord? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, the second chapter, we saw last week what happened when the church gathered in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This morning, I want you to take out your insert. We're going to be looking at three Holy Spirit downloads. Downloads. And the reason I'm using that term, I was thinking this week, and I talked to all my computer buds here who helped me out. I'm like a computer like I am with my car. I got to take it to a mechanic, computer. I got some of you on my speed dial. I got Paul, I got Mike and Robert, you know. I call you, hey, help me out here. And one of the things I'm always leery about is when I need to do a download on my computer, right? And I'll always text or write, is it okay to do this download? All right, I don't want to do the wrong thing. What is a download? It's when you take your mainframe of your computer. This is in simple terms that I can understand. And you hit on a download, and something from outside comes and downloads itself into your computer. And now your computer can do things it couldn't do before the download. Is that right? So this morning, I want to talk to you about God's download for you. Because I believe the apostles gathered together that day. They came in, they were just guys. I mean, we followed them for years, didn't we? And they were kind of a sorry bunch at times, weren't they? They struggled. I mean, didn't we just leave Peter on the beach? And he's being restored because he denied Jesus. And don't be too hard on them, because they all, didn't Jesus say, you're all going to leave me, you're all going to desert me, you're all going to... Peter's, he's just like the rest, right? They all did it. You know, but Jesus didn't get too upset. Why? He knew the download was coming. Amen. And he knew he was going to take those ordinary guys, just like your ordinary computer, and you got your mainframe, you got all your equipment, you're like that car, you got all the bells, you look good, but you need something. And Jesus knew what they needed, and he said, wait till the download comes, because when the download comes, you guys, something's going to happen. And so he was getting them ready. And isn't it true? It's true for me. When I do a download, I remember I was talking to Paul the other day about this, you know. Got to do this download. It's not always instantaneous, is it? Sometimes you got to wait on the download. You remember that little circle? You're waiting for the download. Some downloads are bigger than others, right? This one's big. This is a big download. So he told them, listen, you guys got to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't try to do anything until you get the download. Because once you get the download, see, then you're going to be able to do some incredible things. And you guys are, he couldn't even tell them. because they wouldn't have believed what was going to happen. And here's the great part. I believe that download is for us today. They were, here's these natural guys, and Jesus took the natural, and I want you to know he's doing that with you. He's going to take your natural, and he's going to put super in front of it. And you're going to become supernatural. Amen. You don't even see yourself that way, do you? You look in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm supernatural. I'm not just natural. And he took these guys with all their natural things and all their hang-ups and all their weaknesses, and he put super with it, and he downloaded something into them, and it changed everything. I want to give you three downloads today. If you're at home, you can mark these down on a separate piece of paper. That'd be great. But in your insert, you have three downloads. There's more than that. In fact, I'm going to give you a fourth one at the very end with communion, okay? Couldn't help it. But let's do these first three, okay? Here's the first download. Are you ready for it? Here's the download. Love and obedience. Love and obedience. Write down these three scriptures. We're going to look at them. John 14, great scripture, verses 15 through 21. Jesus is going to be telling the disciples about this download. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. He's going to show us how this download works. And Philippians 2, 13. Let me read them to you. You mark them down. You can read them in your translation later. All I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, unless I tell you otherwise, because I'll be using some New King James too, okay? So let's start with this first one. Are you ready for this? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Oh, doggone it. Lord, why'd you say that? Am I the only one who has trouble sometimes doing what I'm supposed to do? How many of you perfectly obey God's commandments? Well, what, don't you love him? Isn't that what it says? Is it a love problem or an obedience problem? Well, he goes on to explain, because remember where he left Peter on the beach? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? See, he's getting him. What's he getting him ready for? He's getting him ready for the download. He's positioning him for the download. And he said, I want you to start here with this love. Let me tell you, love's not enough. Love's not enough. You can love him with all your heart. But listen, Jesus says, and I'm going to ask the Father to give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus telling the disciples. Listen, you love me, you need to love me because that's your motivation. Yeah, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Now, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. It's not hitting the download button. It doesn't even see it. It doesn't realize its need for it. He says, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later, he will be in you. You're going to get a download. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. Dear sister, a friend of ours passed away a few weeks ago, and her last words to us, she said, I'm not dying. My body's dying, but I'm not dying. She believed this, didn't she? She believed it. I'm going to live. I'll never die. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. This isn't clicking yet, but it's going to. He's getting them ready for the download. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. He said, listen, you're going to love me and I'm going to give you a download. It's going to take your love and it's going to hook up with the Holy Spirit. And you can't grow in your walk without the Holy Spirit. The reason some of you struggle with spiritual growth is you're trying to do it in your own strength. You think you can just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And if you haven't figured it out yet, you can't do it. Look, Jesus said, love's good, not enough. What I'm going to mix with your desire, that's a download you need. And how about Galatians 5, 16 through 26? You need to read this often. Here the writer says, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Do I have a witness? Amen. You act like some strange thing has happened to you. I'm always fighting that sinful nature. He's always wanting to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. Is it true? So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law. He's saying this, this download you're going to get, it's bigger than the law. It's bigger than keeping all, checking off your list. This is a power God's going to give you. And it's going to help you fight against this sinful nature that wars against us. They're contrary to one another. In the New King James, it says they constantly war against one another. It's never going to stop, right? And then if you didn't understand what he was talking about, he gives you a list of what the deeds of the flesh are. Have you looked through that list? It might discourage you a little bit. I get started and I think I'm doing pretty good until I get in the middle of the list. I don't want to read them all, but you might identify with him. He says, this is your sinful nature, and the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. Gee, we didn't even get down the list yet, and we're already in trouble. Impurity, lustful pleasures. Idolatry, sorcery. See, I'm doing good so far. Oh, hang on. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. How many have ever said, well, you know, my dad was like that, my grandpa was like that, you know, it's just kind of our family tree. No, it's your sinful nature, and it's warring against you. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, I've said before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, the Holy Spirit, however, produces in us, here's the download, this kind of fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. And here, listen to this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross, and they have crucified them there. That is Passover. But we can't stop there, can we? And you've done that. But then he goes on. However, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The King James says it this way. If you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Is it possible to live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? Of course it is. Listen, living in the Spirit is the Passover. You're saved. You're born again. We're going to come to this table and we're going to celebrate that, right? But you need to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to be like my car sitting on the side of the road. You look good. You got all the bells and whistles, but you're not going anywhere because you need to not just live in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit. And I like walking and not running. Walking just means to me like that everyday experience. Just as you go on your way, the Holy Spirit is present. It's the download. Let us not become conceited or provoking one another or be jealous of one another. The download will help us with that. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you and giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Tell me, how's he going to do that? It's the download. It's the Holy Spirit in you that gives you that new desire and works that will in you to do what pleases God. I know there's a battle going on, and that's why you need to download. If you take out Pentecost, you're powerless. You're an orphan, and you're standing in your own power, and you already figured out it doesn't work. All right, let's go to download number two. Are you ready? This is a download you need, the download of truth and direction. Three great scriptures, John 14:26, John 16:13, and of course, Proverbs 3:5-6, which we all know. Here in John 14, Jesus says, but when the Father sends the advocate, my representative, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. How many of you got great memories? Yeah, is it? A challenge like it is for me, I'll never forget that. You know, I don't even have to write that down. Guess what? Man, what was that? Ugh. I've learned to write things down. I have learned that, right? Here, the Holy Spirit, with this download, is going to help you remember. It's going to help you remember the things that Jesus has said. Now, here's something you got to know, though. You got to read the book first. If you don't read the book, there's nothing to remember. You can't remember something you never had. God's wanting you to download the scriptures into your life, and then he will pull it up at the right time, just when you need it. He will lead you in all truth. If you're just reading the Bible in your own abilities and strength and intellect, you'll get a lot from it. But I'll tell you, if you don't have the download, you're not going to be able to draw from it like God wants you to. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Oh, that's a, who needs that download? We need that, see. You're trying to figure it all out, but the Holy Spirit will help you. He will tell you. He will give you knowledge. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know this scripture. Man, we got to live this. This is it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. How's he going to do that? By the download. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. Proverbs 16, 9, not up on the screen, but you know it. The plans of man come from the heart of man. Right? You got plans? You got things you're thinking about all the time? Oh, yeah, I like to write my plans down. I got 5-year plans, 10-year plans. But here's the deal. God's going to direct your steps. You can make all the plans you want, but it's the Holy Spirit who's going to end up positioning you. Have you ever had plans that didn't come about, but then you ended up in another situation, wonder how you got there? See, I believe this about the download. I believe if you keep your heart after God every day and you live for him, you'll find yourself in the middle of God's will and wonder how you got there. Just going to be that simple, man. That's the Holy Spirit. You ready for download number 3? Here it is. Oh, this is good. Supernatural boldness and witness. Do you see it in these guys? Isn't it incredible? What did Jesus say in Acts 1:8 before the download? This is what he said to them. But he says, listen, you need to stay put in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. He said, because you're going to need power. And if you wait, the download's coming. And when it comes, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You mean these guys who deserted you? You mean these guys who denied you? Man, you're not talking about those guys, are you? See, that's why Jesus never got upset with them, because he knew the download was coming. And he knew once the download came, everything would change. Everything would change. And we see that, don't we? In Acts 2. Peter on the beach, and now look at him. I think it's so appropriate. He's the one who stands up in verse 14, chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. That doesn't sound like a denier to me. That doesn't sound like one who walked away. He stands up in front of a hostile crowd. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he declared, why? Because the download. It was the Holy Spirit in him that raised up in him. All through the gospels, we find Jesus saying things like, don't worry about what you're going to say. In fact, in one gospel, he says, don't even plan ahead. He says, when you stand before magistrates and kings, I'm going to fill you with what you need, and you're going to have the words at that point in time. Amen? What's he saying? You're going to have the Holy Spirit. You're just going to be a dispenser. You're a channel. You're a conduit. But if there's nothing in there, you're just a tube is all you are. But when you fill it with something and stuff flows out, that's the download. And God's going to use us. He's chosen to do this. He's chosen to use us in that way. In Matthew 28, we know this well. Jesus is closing out his time with the disciples. Download hasn't come yet, but it's coming. And he's got it in mind when he says these words. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What? I thought he was leaving. No, he's going to be with us. How's he going to do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. His presence is going to be with us. Do you know it? Are you aware of it? Hey, you've received your salvation. God has forgiven your sins. You are redeemed and justified. That's the work of Passover. But now Pentecost. The time of harvest is here. And the plan is unfolding, and you're living in the best time ever. You're living in a day that many of the prophets dreamed about. They saw it. You're living in it. And God's giving you the download. We're going to come to the table this morning, but I want to reflect on one last scripture. This is an extra download, okay? This is an extra download. We're familiar with verses 18 through 20, chapter 5. He says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. This is from the New International Version. That's a strange word. It means it'll ruin your life. Why? I've often been puzzled. Why in the world would he use this analogy? Why not just leave that out and just start with these words? Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking of, why did he put that part in there about drinking?
I think he's trying to say something. Now you got to understand the people in Ephesus, they had a temple there to the goddess Diana. And one of the parts of worship there was to become intoxicated. It was a common thing in Ephesus to drink and to drink too much. You say, well, Pastor, is it okay for Christians to drink? Oh, yeah. The Bible, however, warns us over and over again against drunkenness. And the thing you have to decide when it comes to such beverages is this profitable for me? Is there a reason I need to do it? Should I avoid it? You know, what he's saying here is that you're all familiar with drunkenness because you've all been drunk. And then he ties it to being filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the connection? It's simply this. You ever been around somebody who's drunk? When you're intoxicated, it affects your thinking. It affects your speech. It affects your emotion. It affects how you walk. It affects everything about you. We call it being under the influence. He's saying he wants us to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he uses this as the analogy, which they were all familiar with. He said, instead of being drunk, he said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's your download. This is an extra download you have. When this download comes, you're going to be full of thanksgiving. You're going to be full of gratitude. You're going to be a worshiper. You're going to look at life different from everybody else. The Holy Spirit is so going to influence you that even when you go through a year of COVID, the Holy Spirit is going to control you and awesome things are going to happen, even when things aren't what you think they ought to be. Many of you have been following Sean, the worshiper. You've been watching him travel around the country. Thousands of people are coming to Christ during times of restriction. How'd this happen? It only happened because of COVID. Because you wouldn't even know Sean, because he travels overseas and does worship. But because of COVID, he had to stay here in the United States. And he thought, well, I'm just going to do here what I do overseas. Little did he know this thing would explode across America. He was doing a rally the other day, and just like in Acts, there were people who opposed him, and they had bullhorns, and they were just trying to interrupt the service, and they're worshiping the Lord. And he gives an invitation, and he said, hundreds of people ran past the bullhorns to the altar to get saved. Somebody got the download. That was the download, wasn't it? They go in the midst of riots and protests, and they just worship. They just worship. How can you do that? They got the download. He said that's what will happen. When you get this download, you're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Did you notice in worship today, we had a little time where we would just sing it and say, well, do you make those words aren't on the screen? No, they're in our hearts. And if you just let it go sometimes, you'd be amazed what the Lord would sing out of you. We sang a hymn in first service written by Fanny Cosby. It's over 150 years old. And she's blind. She was blind. At 6 weeks old, a doctor put a mustard paste on her eyes and took her sight away. She wrote over 8,000 hymns in her life, lived to be 95. At 9 years old, she started writing poetry. There are poetry books written by her. They're still read today. Two of the best-selling autobiographies. 1,000 non-religious songs. What happened? She got the download. Even with all of her, what we would consider a handicap, she said, oh no, I see things other people don't see. See, in the Spirit she could see, right? She got this download. And it influenced her life, every part of her life. And she began to sing and make music from your heart. We sang the hymn, "This Is My Story, This Is My Song." You know how that was written? 1873, she went to a friend's house who had this melody. Her husband was the founder of a great insurance company that we all know even today. And she played the song and she said, "Fanny, what's this melody say?" And she said she went to prayer and she got up. And she began to say these words that we have sung for 150 years. Where did they come from? They came from the download. And don't think God can't use you, because sometimes he has and you didn't even know it. You need to write those words down. You can be riding in your car and a song comes forth. You don't need words on a screen. You can just sing. And that's the Holy Spirit, amen? Always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything. We were talking in prayer this Thursday morning, our prayer early morning. I told the brothers, I said, "Listen, I want to get to the place where when I try to be negative, I can't." Would you like that? Yeah, giving thanks to the Father. See, if you got the download, you can see life totally different. Why? Because you're under the influence. You're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have had weird experiences, and when you hear Pentecost, you think of all kinds of experiences. Listen, I want you to lay all that aside. Lay all your tradition aside. Lay all your experiences aside. All I want from you today is for you to say, "Lord, would you fill me?" Because here's the reality. When it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, some say it's a one and done thing, but really in its original construction of language, it really says be being filled. I believe, and we're going to talk more in the weeks ahead, and I want you to lay aside all the, just come open. Say, "Lord, I need the download in my life. I don't want to be like Joe's car out of gas, where I look good and I got all the capabilities, but I don't have any power in my life." I believe God wants to give you that power today. And I believe he's got that download for you if you're willing to receive it. And listen, I know some of you say, "Well, we can lay hands on you." Yeah, you can do that. There's examples of it in Scripture. There's also examples when nobody touched anybody. In fact, in Acts, nobody touched anybody. Just the Holy Spirit came. I was in a prayer meeting once, and we were praying for something. And there's some lady over here just starts receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit in her life. And we weren't even talking about it. You can't do that. You got to wait. No. It's still happening today because we're still living in the day of Pentecost. We're living in the time of harvest, and we're going to do it until when? Till Jesus comes. So we've got our assignment. We've got our commission. And Jesus is saying, don't do it without the Holy Spirit, because you're just going to, you can do a lot of things without the Holy Spirit, but you'll never fulfill this mission unless you open yourself up and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. It can affect your marriage. Listen, it's not just for a church service. It's not a badge of honor saying, "Hey, look at me." Oh, no. If anything, it will bring great humility in your life. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit will give you. But it comes to a point where we're just simply saying today, without this, I can do nothing. But with this, I can do anything. Would you be willing? Would you be available? Would you position yourself and push the download button? Because God says he wants to do it. So if he wants to do it, and you're willing to push the download button, there's nothing in your way. Amen? Are you ready? Father, as we prepare our hearts to come to this table, it represents to us Passover. It represents to us the meal that you had with your... It represents our salvation that we all enjoy here today. We are so grateful. And if we die tonight, we're going to be in your presence. But Lord, if we live these days that you have designed for us, we need your power so we can do what you've called us to do. No more excuses. Lord, it's no longer if I had this, I could do that. No, Lord, we're just going to be your dispensers. We're going to be your conduits. Would you fill us up? And would you fill us fresh and new? And there's some of us here, we need a freshness today in our walk. And so we're saying, give us the download, Lord. Give us the download. We position ourselves right now. We're positioning ourselves. And we confess that without you, we can do nothing. But with this download, We can be your ambassadors in this world. We are living in the time of harvest. We don't want to sit on the sidelines. Give us what we need to step onto the field of play. And let us move in power. Let it start right in our own individual lives, our families, and let it ripple out. May this church be what that early church gathering was. Change us. Give us the download of power today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you're here today and you've never, ever surrendered your life to Jesus, you've entertained it, you've thought about it, you've questioned it, but today, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Did you know that Romans 8 says without the Holy Spirit, you can't even come to Jesus? Did you know that? You know, we always think of the haves and have-nots. Forget that. I'm going to talk to you about that in a couple of weeks. The work of the Holy Spirit is this work right here. And it positions you for the download. That's what we need. And some of you, you've experienced that in the past, but because of events in your life, you've leaked. You've just leaked. And God wants to fill you up again today. Amen. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, that's your first step, and we want to invite you to do that. I don't save anybody. It's God who does the saving. But you know He's pulling you and drawing you. You say, I got a lot of questions. Well, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's got a lot of answers. And you just, in faith, you receive that gift. How many of you remember the day you did that? Man, I didn't even have a clue what was coming. But God's calling us to that place. And then He's going to position us to live in the time of harvest. As we leave today, I want you to remember, we've circled it again, fresh. The Feast of Pentecost is where we're going to live. Can you go to that slide, honey? We're going to go to that. I want you to leave with this image in your heart today. That's where you live. That's where you live. This makes it possible for you to live in that place right now. Amen. And as you take the cup and bread this morning, I want you to ask God afresh. I don't need to lay my hands on you. You just say, Lord, you said it. I want to receive it today. Whatever that means. I'm just going to open myself up to it. Amen. I'm ready for the download. You got to push the button. Are you ready? Who needs it today? Do you need it? Now, I'm going to give you an invitation when we're done. You can come forward, and I will lay my hands on you, and I will pray with you, and I will agree with you. But you can right now in your seat, right where you are, God can meet with you. Amen? Wow. 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 Father, I thank you today for this cup and bread and what it represents to us. It is, Lord, your great sacrifice. The Passover has come to us. It was part of the rhythm of your redemption, and we're part of that rhythm today. But Lord, that rhythm is continuing on, and we're living. We're living in this day of great power and ministry. It is the harvest, and the fields are white, but the laborers are few. We want to step into that place. Would you empower us to do this as our hearts look forward to your return? But until then, we're going to live our lives for the kingdom's sake. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me across this place as we prepare to leave? Again, I don't know what your experiences have been in the past. I know there's all kinds of doctrines that swirl around this whole topic. I know it could be one of the most controversial topics in the church today, but that doesn't surprise me. I would expect the enemy to do that because he knows how important this is. But I'm encouraging you just to put yourself in a position. Would you do that this week? Again, the invitation is given. When I dismiss you, I'll be here. I'll stay as long as you need me to. Love to pray with you. Hang in these next few weeks. We're going to be looking some more. And what does this look like to live the resurrected life, to live in this time of harvest? What is God wanting to do in and through me? Man, I'm praying this over you. I just want you to know. Praying every day, God, open us up and refresh us. Father, I pray over this congregation, and I pray for a download over their lives. You have positioned them, you have prepared them. Now do it. Do it. And I don't have any perimeters on this, Lord. I'm just asking you to do it, to fill us with your Holy Spirit and power. that we could come under the influence and it'll affect the way we think, what we see, the way we walk, the way we talk. Lord, we want to be dispensers of your power and spirit. Hallelujah. Let it affect our tongues, our speech, everything about us. Lord, help us. We want to experience what those disciples experienced that night that changed them forever. And it will change us today as well. Thank you for your gift. We receive it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.